You're midway through this adventure.
Yes.
So what do you know about mileage and projected arrival?
We are approaching the halfway mile marker. We're nearly at 1,000 miles downstream from where we started, and the river's 2,350 miles. And time-wise, we passed our one-month anniversary on October 18th, and we anticipate arriving right around Thanksgiving like we had originally planned. That deadline has been fluctuating a little bit, but we recently compared our trip to someone else's trip that has a similar time frame and mileage per day, and we think we're right on track to arrive right around the end of November. We were able to increase our average mileage per day as the current flows at a faster rate.
So you're well over 30 these days?
Yeah, we're averaging over 30 when the weather is good.
Let's talk about Dubuque. That was one of your stops, huh?
Yeah. So in Dubuque, we were graciously hosted by the National River Museum and Aquarium, and that is located right on the Dubuque port in a marina. And they allowed us to stay on one of the historic steamships that is called the William M. Black. And it was a steamship that was used on the Missouri River for dredging. But now it's showcased as a stop and an exhibit at this museum right on the water. And so we did bunk beds in a heated quarters inside the steamship for one night. And the next morning we received a tour with the director of the museum, and also we got to see an exhibit along the river that's called Art on the River, and artists from local and regional areas around Dubuque are able to showcase their art right along the riverside, along a walkway. And the museum was a very comprehensive educational resource for many, many visitors. They just reached their 2 millionth visitor mark recently. So they try and have comprehensive exhibits from animal and wildlife to history of the river and different cultures that have been impacted by the river along the entire river, not just in the Dubuque area. So they reach out to many, many organizations that, whether it's a museum or environmental organization along the river and even out into the watershed of the Mississippi, to educate people who pass through their museum.
Sounds fascinating. And those warm quarters sound pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Moline, you visited your first water treatment facility there?
Yeah, a few days after Dubuque, we arrived in Davenport, and we had two tours lined up. So our group split up in half, and half of us went to the water treatment facility in Moline on the Illinois side of the river, and the other half of us went to what's called River Music Experience in downtown Davenport. And at the water treatment facility, I was the one who went to, one of the people that went to the music experience, but we swapped what we learned at each tour. And one thing at the water quality facility that my fellow paddlers learned is the importance of knowing where your water comes from and to value it, because if we don't re-examine our drinking water policies, then we risk losing the access to this massive natural resource and run the risk of developing into what the man said is a third world country for not taking care of our water resources and then not being able to use them efficiently.
One of our first conversations, you reminded us of how easy it is to forget how massive the Mississippi is in itself and then its watershed.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really easy on a micro scale to think about your own individual life, whether you live on a farm or in a suburb of a city, and to not really realize what impacts your small family or you as an individual, how you impact the river. But when you think of it on a macro scale, we together are impacting the river in so many different ways, so many different avenues. And the American Society of Civil Engineers rates our water and wastewater infrastructure as a D compared to other countries in the world. So we have a lot of work to do, and education is one of the ways we want, our group wants to reach out to as many people as we can to just make them more aware of this river and its watershed.
So you said the letter D as in not good.
Correct. Not
A, B,
an A
C,
plus.
D. Not even close. How was that tour set up? Is that set up along the way, or is that something that you had planned from the beginning?
Yeah. So one of our paddlers, John, he was in charge prior to departure for this expedition, was in charge of contacting as many different people along the river, letting them know about our trip. And it was difficult for him to set up an exact time and day for when we were going to be reaching certain places, whether it's a museum or a paddling club. But he's been really good about keeping tabs on different people that we want to meet and places we want to visit. And when we anticipate arriving in a few days, he'll give them a call and let them know when we expect to be arriving to their museum. And we've had great success so far arranging some of those meetups, but it's also really hard to pinpoint with someone exactly when and where we'll be.
So now back to this Davenport River music. What was this sort of classic traditional music, or what was that?
It was really interesting. They have Davenport is a hot spot for music, especially along the Mississippi River. And historically, there were river boats that would have shows, and musicians such as Louis Armstrong would play on these river boats, and people would travel up and down the river to play music and also spread their music to other parts of the country using the river as its corridor of travel. And so this particular place, the river music experience in Davenport, has it's part museum. They have educational programs, and they also have a venue for concerts, and Grace Potter has played there. Many, many famous people have passed through, and Davenport's becoming a hot spot. And so we met with a man named Ellis Kell, who we showed up, and he had a banjo in his lap, and he gave us a tour of the facility and then played us some music with another coworker of his, Brett, and they played us some music about the Mississippi River, and we hope to use that in our documentary when it comes time to creating that.
There is it seems to me there's so much richness and sort of soul in what you can experience through music, as you said, the various cultures and the what people over time have gone through, have experienced themselves, survived, and in many cases over those decades, over the centuries.
And Ellis told us that a lot of genres of music blended as they passed each other on the Mississippi River at different venues or on different river boats. And he said that the Mississippi River was a great source for collaboration of musicians and spreading different styles of music up and down north to south in the United States.
So did you take some of those tunes in your head with you, or do they sort of fade away when you move on to the next stop?
They gave us some of their CDs so that we can listen to them whenever we want to.
Is that ever cool? Your weather is changing. You've hit some snow, I take it.
Yes, we had a snowy paddle yesterday. It was pretty beautiful and exciting and very windy, but luckily it was a tailwind. But we wanted to make some mileage and pick up our first food drop in Muscatine, Iowa. And so we paddled just shy of around 10 miles to a lock and dam, and there was a barge up ahead of us. And we radioed in on the marine radio to the lock, letting them know that we were approaching, and asked if we could sneak in before the barge. And he said, no, you'll have to wait an hour and 45 minutes. And so we asked about portaging around and whether or not there was a trail that we could easily access around the dam. And he said yes, but right then a family on a small tugboat radioed in after us and said, that we were invited to come over and take shelter across the river inside their tugboat. And so we weighed the options and decided to go for not portaging and take shelter with this tugboat. And it was really great. We met Becky and Mike and their daughter, and we stayed inside their warm place for about half an hour. And then with them, we paddled over back to the lock and snuck in before another barge was approaching. And they let us pass through the lock, and it was pretty cold and raining / snowing. It was kind of a sleet and sloppy snow, but we pulled over in Muscatine and stayed in a bar downtown for a couple of hours while some people did some food shopping and the rest of us blogged and repacked the food inside this bar.
Wow. So that was one of your less beautiful paddles in terms of weather and getting through that time, huh?
Yeah. And we try and read a quote every single day. And one of the quotes we read recently before this happened was that there's no such thing as bad weather, just different types of good weather. And so we're trying to keep our spirits high, and we're doing a pretty good job at that. And right now it's blue skies, and I think it's going to warm up to maybe the mid-40s or low 50s today.
Excellent. So where are you this morning, Martha?
We are just across Blanchard Island, and we're on the Illinois side. And we're south of Muscatine, Iowa. And I don't know if I can give you a better description than that.
That sounds like I was trying to pull up on the map, and of course, it won't do it for me when I want to get there. But that's what I get for trying to multitask when you're having a conversation, right? Being present is important.
We're about 5 miles, 5 river miles south of Muscatine, Iowa, on the Illinois side.
So you mentioned earlier portaging. Have you had to do a certain amount of portaging?
We have only portaged up until the Twin Cities. And then after that, every single dam has a lock that any size boat can go through the lock. I know you can portage around the dams, but this past dam that we went or lock that we went through, the lock master told us that the portage route isn't super accessible, and he suggested we would be better off waiting to go through the lock. And I think we just went through lock number 16, and there are 29 total. I think I told you 30 before, but there's 29 total. St. Louis is the last part.
You were so close.
Yeah, after St. Louis, the river becomes wide enough and deep enough where they don't need to have locks for the dams. There are no dams down there.
Yeah. So have you become buddies with the Coast Guard? With your daily check-ins?
Yes. We call them, we were supposed to call them every morning at 6 in the morning and 6 at night, and that sort of petered off. We learned that they are based out of St. Louis, and that's how they originally, or we're not quite sure how they originally heard about us, but they contacted the locks along the way to find out when we were passing through each lock, and then that's how they notified us when one lock master saw us eating lunch and asked if we were paddle forward.
Oh, wow. But we haven't specifically asked by name. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't kept up with keeping in touch with them as closely as they expected, but they haven't reached out to us in the last day or two either. So
how are communications, or what are you hearing from schools? Do you have sort of your core group that's following you?
Yeah, we are every opportunity we have to get easy internet and power, we check up on the blog and look at the comments that schools have left us. We're getting better at blogging more regularly and also putting up video blogs. And we're hoping to keep increasing the amount of student interaction. And if there's any schools out there that would like to Skype with us, we can arrange to do that if they have the capability in their classroom to do a Skype video chat with their students. So you can still contact us on the website under the River Ambassadors Program. There's an email there where you can let us know if you'd like to video with us while we're paddling or at a campsite. Otherwise, we'll keep on blogging and asking discussion questions for classrooms and teachers to use with their students.
I've read some of the blog, and I love the way that that's crafted because it's reporting, but also posing those questions and throwing out concepts to consider. So are there any comments from students connecting to this, to your adventure?
Uh-huh. To be honest, I'm not on the forefront of keeping tabs on the blog. There's someone else who's in charge of that. I could ask her really quickly to.
Oh, no, that's okay. I mean, it's important to know you're all doing your jobs.
Yeah. Big concept is adventure learning, where if a school or a classroom of students, they don't have the capability to go on a 3-month river trip like some of us do. And so the idea of adventure learning is that students can live and learn vicariously through someone else's experience. And so that's what we're aiming to do through these discussion questions and videos. And it's a little bit of an open end on the teacher's side for them to decide how they want to incorporate our experience into their classroom.
Paddling straight through the coming weekend, or do you have plans to have a lengthier stop in the coming days?
We are shooting for an ambitious goal, but we think we can do it, and arriving in Grafton, Illinois on Monday. There's a party that one organization that we are in touch with called One Mississippi, and the mission of One Mississippi is to connect anyone along the river that wants to be connected with anyone else along the river. And so there's all these different organizations or farmers or paddling clubs that have similar goals and wanting to protect the river and educate people about the river, but they might not be aware of other people doing similar things. And so One Mississippi is stationed throughout the entire course of the river, and they're having their annual party on Monday. So there's a bunch of people that we have been in touch with and learned about that we would like to meet. And so we're going to shoot to paddle as much as we can and arrive in Grafton, Illinois on Monday for that event. So we'll be paddling long days the next few days, and the weather forecast is looking in our favor.
That's excellent. So do you have other things going this morning before you head out, or you're just about to?
We are in the midst of breakfast. Two paddlers woke up early this morning, and they made some cinnamon rolls. And how they did that was on the bottom of a canoe on shore. They rolled out dough that they had slept with the dough last night because they wanted it to rise. So inside of a plastic bag was the dough with the yeast, and it rose in their warm sleeping bag. And then this morning they woke up early, and on the bottom of the canoe they spread out the dough and used it as a kitchen countertop, and then put cinnamon sugar in it, rolled it up, sliced it with dental floss, and are baking it on the fire as I speak.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. We're living large out here.
So how does it smell?
It smells delicious.
Oh,
buttery,
my gosh. Yeah, make sure you take a photo.
It'll keep us warm.
Make sure you take a photo of that.
I will.
So, Martha, anything else you want to share? Any reflections of the Midway? It just must be incredible.
It is an amazing opportunity, and we're all learning a lot.
Like how to bake with dental floss.
Yep.
Well, I look forward to our next conversation, and don't forget to take a photo of those cinnamon rolls.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, take care of yourself.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Stay warm.
Yep.
Bye.